Good morning, everyone. Good to be with you today. And prayer, as Peter said, is what we're talking about today in our sermon series on random but important topics for Christians. And we just had that Bible reading which included the most famous prayer of all, what is known as the Lord's Prayer. And since we're talking about prayer, it would be good for me to pray for us now. Our loving Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time to set apart to think about prayer and in particular to look at this one passage from Matthew's Gospel on prayer. We pray that you would help each one of us to think about this very important topic and how we might learn to pray and to enjoy that great privilege. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, in thinking about prayer during the week, I recalled my earliest memory of praying. It was somewhere in my primary school years. I can't remember exactly when it was, and I'm not sure exactly what I was praying about. But one thing I do remember was that I thought I needed to say as many pleases as possible to get God to do what I wanted him to do. So I would say something like, God, can you please, 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 and so on. I don't know how many pleases I thought I had to say exactly, but it was a lot. I think I usually did it when I was lying in bed, and so I think I remember even drifting off to sleep sometimes just in saying so many pleases that I just fell asleep while I did it. So that's one of my earliest recollections of praying. I wonder what your experience of praying has been. Whether you've got a recollection of praying when you were younger, and I wonder what your experience of prayer is now. Do you pray? What's it like? What are the things that you pray for? And why do you pray? Well, I think prayer is something that most people would do in some way at some point in their lives. Now, probably for a lot of people, it's a cry out to the universe, looking for help from someone greater than themselves. We also discover in the Bible that prayer pervades just about every single page. Everywhere you look in the Bible, prayer is there. In fact, everywhere God is, prayer is also. And yet, despite the common experience most people have of praying at some point in their lives and how much prayer features in the Bible, most people, including seasoned Christians, struggle to understand and to actually do prayer. Am I right? Well, today we are going to look at just one passage on prayer, which, as I said before, includes the most famous prayer of all, what has been called the Lord's Prayer. And please don't think that in this one sermon we're going to cover everything that there is to know or understand about prayer. So at the end of the sermon, as we did a couple of weeks ago when we looked at the topic of the Bible, you will have a chance, if you want to write down any questions that come up for you about prayer that either come from the sermon or questions that you just have had about prayer. And I'll try and respond to those questions next Sunday. But also next Sunday, I'm going to offer some suggestions of how you might go about praying, and we'll hear from a seasoned prayer, as we did with the Bible talk, about their experience of prayer. And I'll offer some resources for those who want to think about it a bit more and be a bit more equipped to pray. So please, let's turn our attention now to the passage we heard before from Matthew chapter 6, verses 5 to 15, and you might find it helpful to have it open in front of you. Now, this passage is early on in Jesus' ministry, and he's got this huge crowd who are gathered around him. And he's teaching them a whole heap of stuff. It goes from something like chapter 4 through to about chapter 8 or thereabouts. in what is known as the Sermon on the Mount. And partway through this big teaching session is the section we're looking at today, which is all about prayer. And again, it's not the only thing that Jesus or the rest of the Bible has to say about prayer. It's just one particular section on prayer. And what we see in these verses is at least five great lessons from Jesus about prayer. Five great lessons about prayer from Jesus. So let's have a look at each one of those. And here's the first lesson. The goal of prayer is intimacy with our Heavenly Father. The goal of prayer is intimacy with our Heavenly Father. So what that means is that prayer is about relationship, not ritual. It's about communicating with someone so as to develop a deeper friendship or relationship. So the primary reason we pray is to grow in a relationship with our Heavenly Father, to make a real and personal connection with Him. But Jesus recognized that people have other reasons for praying. Some might do it because they want to impress others with their long prayers. So Jesus talks in verse 5 about those who love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by other people. They don't seem to care about a relationship with God. They just want people to think that they are wonderful and spiritual because they pray so well and eloquently. And most of us are impressed by people who speak well, aren't we? We love to hear storytellers and those who are the life of the party because of their great speaking abilities. But these sort of people can often leave without them ever knowing who we are. They've done all the talking and have only been interested in getting laughs or attention from other people. And no relationship has been developed or grown. And these sort of people get what they are after: attention and laughs. Just as those who pray to impress get what they're after. Jesus says that their reward is the approval of people. Now Jesus recognized another reason why people pray: so that they might make God do what they want Him to do. Now this is one which, if most of us were honest, would be what we would say that we do when we pray. We want to get God to do what we want Him to do. And Jesus says in verse 7 that when some people pray, they keep on babbling. They keep going on and on because they think that in doing so that they will be heard by God because of their many words. Do you hear the logic of that? If I say many words, then God will hear me and God will do what I want Him to do. It's applying a formula to get God to listen and do what we say. If I do this certain thing, then God will do what I say. So we might think some of these kind of things, that if I kneel when I pray, then God will do what I want Him to do. Or if I yell when I pray, then God will do what I want Him to do. If I beg and plead and say please 1,000 times, God will do what I want Him to do. Or if I cross myself, however that works, when I pray, then God will do what I want Him to do. Or if I repeat a certain prayer over and over again, then surely God will do what I want Him to do. And so on. With whatever you might think that you need to do in order to get God to do what you want Him to do. But praying like this also shows no concern for relationship with God, but only how I can get God to do what I want Him to do. Now, sometimes we can do that with other people, can't we? Or they can do that with us. They kind of butter us up. They're all friendly. They say and do all the right things. And then they tell us what they want from us. There is no concern for relationship, but just what they can get from us. Is that what your praying to God is like? Well, Jesus says three times in verses 5 to 8, don't be like that. Don't be like those kind of people, because that is not what prayer is all about. Instead, be firstly concerned about relating to God, and in particular, relating to Him like a child to a good father. Now, Jesus calls God his Father, and he says that those who put their faith and trust in him can call him their Father too. But the word daddy is more of what the expression means. It's an expression of intimate relationship, isn't it? We get to call God daddy. And just pause to have a think about how amazing that is for a moment. That we, these little specks of dust on this small planet, get to call the God of the universe, Daddy. Jesus says at the end of verse 6 that when you approach prayer like this, you will be rewarded. And not necessarily with the applause and admiration from people because of your great prayers, or by God doing exactly what you ask, but we will be rewarded with a greater intimacy with our Heavenly Father, who already knows what we need and cares about what we need and will give us what we need. So the first lesson we learn from Jesus, the Master Prayer, is to make the goal of our prayer, of our praying, increased intimacy with our Heavenly Father. To lesson two. Prayer doesn't need to be long and repetitive, but simple and direct. That's what Jesus says in verses 7 and 8. We don't need to keep on babbling because God knows what we need anyway. So long prayer vigils aren't necessarily helpful. Repeating a set prayer like a mantra isn't necessarily helpful. And heaping up empty phrases and using big religious words definitely isn't helpful. So what could simple and direct prayer look like? Well, that's what Jesus goes on to show us in what, as I said before, has become known as the Lord's Prayer. And do you notice with this prayer that there is no drama? There's no showiness. There's no kind of ecstatic moments with it. There's no repetition. And he doesn't say that there is a special time or a special place or a special method we need to use. Just a short series of requests with incredible depth and breadth and all in around 50 words to a Father in heaven who is both all-knowing and incredibly generous. Lesson three from the Master Prayer shows us that we should begin our prayers with God and not me. Now, we humans suffer from a condition which says that everything exists basically for my sake, including God. He's there for us, isn't he? And so our prayers often reflect that, don't they? So we pray about my work, my future, my friends, my busy schedule, my stress, pretty much anything, in fact, that has the word my in front of it. But what strikes us about the Lord's Prayer, however, is that me and my don't even get a look in the first three requests. According to Jesus, the very first things we should pray for are all about God. And they are requests for the Father to do something for himself and for his own name's sake, without reference to me at all or to any of my relatives. Now, it may seem strange to be asking God to do something for himself, but it's no stranger than asking God to do something for us, really. After all, verse 8 reminds us that God knows what we need even before we ask him. And presumably he can and will provide for us, even if we do not ask him, and he can and will bring in his kingdom, even if we do not ask him. So we're not bringing to God any new information in our prayers, either with regard to our own needs or with respect to his eternal plans. And yet in spite of that, we are urged by Jesus to pray for these things. Because in his kindness and wisdom, God uses our feeble prayers as part of his eternal plans. I remember when I was a child that my father, probably sometimes with great frustration, allowed me to help him with some projects around the house. Now, he didn't need my help, and it probably would have been easier without my help. But he wanted to involve me. And that's what God does with our prayers. So the first three things Jesus says that we should ask for are these. Firstly, for God's name to be honoured. That is, for us and for all people to honour him, to make him number one in our lives. And secondly, for God's kingdom to come. That is, for us and all people to let him rule in our lives, to release control of our lives to him, to take the crown off our own heads and put it where it belongs, on his head. And thirdly, we are to pray for God's will to be done. And that is for us and all people to submit our wills to his, to do what he wants, not what we want. Do you pray these kind of things? Well, start now, if you haven't already. And maybe as well as praying them generally, you could pray them specifically. Pray for Buninyong. Pray for the wider Ballarat area. Pray for the whole of Australia and indeed the whole earth. Pray that people would honour God. Pray that they would give him rule over their lives. And pray that they would submit their wills to his. These are great prayers to continuously pray. Please do that. And then, when we've addressed these three priorities, we can then turn to our own needs, which even then we see that are still much bigger than me or my. They're actually about us. Well, lesson 4 from the Master Prayer says that we should pray for our needs, not just mine, one day at a time. He says in verse 11, give us today our daily bread. I've always liked the daily bread request of the Lord's Prayer because it holds so much scope for expansion. Clearly, bread was a metaphor for all physical needs and wants, which in my view could cover just about anything. So at last, after the high-minded spiritual goals of the first three requests, Jesus was now giving me permission to just let rip with all the things that I really wanted God to do for me. But funny how I never really thought about that little word, daily. Give us today our daily bread. Don't look too far ahead, Jesus says. Don't sweat on the medium or the long-term stuff. After all, you've just prayed for the long-term to be God's kingdom. So just ask God to provide your necessities for the coming day. That's all you need to worry about at this stage. The future is God's. And in terms of my physical needs, I don't have to focus too much further ahead than tomorrow. Now that's something a bit liberating, I reckon, for those of us who like to worry about the future. Just to pray one day at a time for our needs to be met and to trust the God of the future. So finally then to lesson number 5 from the Master Prayer. Pray to survive. As children, we often think of ourselves as indestructible, pretending that we're Superman or Superwoman, or some other hero that survives anything that is thrown at them. But I don't think we're actually too different as adults. You may disagree with me, but how much of our prayer time gets taken up with our human frailties of sin and praying to survive temptation? Because what we pray for reflects what's important and necessary in our minds. If we don't pray for something, then we obviously don't think that we need it. But according to Jesus in this prayer, apart from praying for God to meet my daily requirements, the other two really important things to ask for are all about how weak I am and about how dangerous the Christian life is. Please forgive me, and please help me to make it through the time of testing and evil, which are not very subtle admissions of the obvious facts that I'm a sinner, and I don't fancy my chances against temptation and evil. If we're honest, we'll recognize that we aren't Superman or Superwoman, but weak and facing a terrible enemy and in need of deliverance. These are the things that we should be praying for ourselves and for other people. So here we have it then, friends. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 lessons from the Master Prayer, Jesus. Praying to our Daddy in heaven, seeking intimacy with Him, keeping our prayers simple and direct, beginning with God, not ourselves, for His name to be honoured, His kingdom to come, His will to be done, and then praying for our needs, just one day at a time. And finally, that we might survive and be delivered from sin and the temptations of Satan. What a prayer. And all in just over 50 words. And it should be said that although it's okay to say this prayer as it is, as we sometimes do in church and as we'll do in a little while, it's mainly meant to be an example of what good, regular prayer looks like. And it certainly doesn't mean that all our prayers should have that kind of structure. There is certainly plenty of space for just throwing out random prayers to our Father in heaven who cares for us and for the little things as well as the big things. So as I finish up, what lessons have you particularly learnt today from Jesus, the Master Prayer? And what are you going to do with it? Well, pray, I hope, to put them into practice. And as you do, to see your relationship with God and your life transformed. But no doubt there are lots of questions that you still have about prayer. Either questions about what I said in the sermon or things that I didn't say. Or just about things that you've always wondered about prayer. Well, I'm going to give you now just a couple of minutes. If you wish, you don't have to, but if you wish to jot down on a piece of paper any questions that you have relating to prayer that I can work on during the week and respond to next Sunday. So if I could have someone just help me hand out the bits of paper and pens, maybe Jared, would you be happy to hand out one of those?